Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter 10. Lord, give me grace to release this mystery. You're going to have ears to hear today, eyes to see what I'm going to say to you. This is a very, what I would consider, profound mystery. And we're going to look at this encounter that Daniel had during a fast. He was on a 21-day fast. And how many know there's the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven? We know this because Paul was caught up into the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, there's got to be a first heaven and a second heaven. And so the first heaven is this natural earth that we live in. The second heaven is what is presently controlled by demonic powers. The Bible says the devil is the god of this world system. It's a spiritual place that's controlled. He calls him the prince of the power of the air. It's not so much the atmosphere, but it is an atmosphere. It's a spiritual atmosphere that governs nations. Some nations have light. Some are governed with darkness. There are territorial areas that are governed with light and darkness, depending on what's going on in the arena of God or the devil. Amen. And so there is also the third heaven, of course, where Christ dwelleth, where you're seated in heavenly places. The Bible says that you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And he says he sat down at the right hand of God, far above all principality, power, ruler, dominion, and might. He holds the highest seat in all of the universe. Guess what? You hold that seat with him because you were raised together, say together, made to sit together. And there's a reason, and I'm going to go somewhere today with this, in heavenly places. Now, let's look how the operation of what you would call transference. We're talking about the transference of the kingdom of God, how it works under the old, how it works under the new. We're going to see how the kingdom was transferred under the old, and we're going to show you how it's transferred under the new. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was in a time of fasting and prayer, seeking the understanding of God. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, nor came flesh, nor wine in my mouth. That's where the Daniel fast came from. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4th and the 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, now Christ, in his incarnate form, he appeared to him. It was very powerful. And he said, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. He was looking at Christ. Isn't that glorious? Oh my goodness. Daniel had a tremendous revelations and visions. Tremendous. His eyes and a lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his word like the voice of a multitude. I mean, this was Jesus in Logos form, but he's all his glory, and Daniel's looking at it. But then all of a sudden, Gabriel appears. We know this is Gabriel because he was in the previous chapter. I don't have time to get into all of it. But verse 10, and Daniel fell on his face. He's trembling. He's looking at God in his knowledge, glorification, and his power. And then Gabriel steps in and he taps him on the shoulder, and he's going to tell him something. And this is most profound what he says to him. Verse 10, he says, behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel. Now this is Gabriel speaking to him now. O greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, because he just had an encounter in the glory of God. Now he's got to get up and listen to what God's about to say through Gabriel. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling, and he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God. Now that was 21 days previous when he began to fast and pray. Notice what he says. Thy words were heard then. What did he say? From the first day I heard your words. First day that he prayed, I heard your words. And I am come for thy words. I'm come for your prayer. I've heard your prayer. You set yourself to fast. You set yourself to pray. You set yourself before heaven. And I heard you from the very first day. God hears. Amen. 21 days later, he gets the visitation and he tells you what the holdup was, because God heard it from the first day. Now God's going to transfer. He was transferring something out of heaven. In fact, Daniel just gets an explosion of visions and revelations. But those vision and revelations was the unfolding future of all nations that was going to unfold before him. A consecutive revelation after another, Daniel saw the panoramic view of all nations unfolding, even to the hour we live in. Glory to God. He saw it all. And the enemy tried to resist him for 21 days. Look what happened here. Verse 13, he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, now this was not a natural prince. This was a spiritual principality. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness. These are unseen forces, unseen rulers of darkness. You ever walk into a place and feel the darkness? I walk into churches sometime and I don't feel dark, but I'll feel the religious spirit. It just clamps down on you. Now, this principality, this prince of the kingdom of Persia, he withstood him. He said, he withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael and one of the chief princes came to help me and remained there. So this was a clash between spiritual warfare. Michael, the archangel, had to get involved with this warfare. There was a struggle. Getting down what he prayed. For 21 days there was a struggle, because this operation of the second heaven, where the principalities and powers, they were resisting what God had answered the first day. He was sent. He heard it and it was sent from heaven the very first day. Gabriel received it. It was heard and he was sent with the answer. But on his way, he got intercepted. For 21 days he got intercepted. By the prince of Persia, a spiritual principality, so much so that it had to call Michael to come and help open that up so he could get it down to him. 21 days to get it to him. But he got it. That was the old. Do you know that God changed everything in the new? Did you know that? It's still there. Prince of the power of the air is still there. God of this world system is still there. Ruling princes and powers are still there. But he changed his delivery route. In the old, we were here. God was up there. He had to bring it down through that system. Wonder how many things got intercepted. I'm going to show you today how God transfers the kingdom. In fact, we've been showing it to you all along. He bypasses the second heaven. Wouldn't it be glorious in God's genius and his wisdom? Isn't it glorious in God's genius and his wisdom that he bypassed getting it through that system? So let's go back into what we've been in and look at it into that light. And let's look how God transfers where he hears from, how he transfers it, and how he gets it here. The whole thing about the kingdom of God is how to get it from there to here. Amen? We saw that it got intercepted for 21 days because of spiritual warfare there. Amen? Let's see how God does it now. Go to Matthew 6. Go to John 3 on your way over. And look at verse 13. Most profound verse in the Word of God. This is Jesus standing in front of Nicodemus. He just told him, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus goes, what? He goes, do I enter into my mother's womb all over again? I mean, how does this work? He says, Nicodemus, you're a master and you don't know this? So after he blew his mind the first time, he's going to blow his mind a second time. Jesus had that way about him. Amen. Now notice what he says. This is a profound verse right here. Verse 12. If I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You know, the church must understand heavenly things now. The time has passed. We come to churches to hear earthly messages. We are meant to operate in heavenly things. We're not going to be effective until we do. We need to take the supernatural out of the supernatural, make the supernatural natural, and be natural with the supernatural. It's naturally supernatural. Verse 13, and no man, listen to this, hath ascended up to heaven. If you don't have a King James, you're probably not going to get this one right. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, what? Which is in heaven. Did you see that? Not going to heaven. In heaven. Say in heaven. While he's talking to Nicodemus. How can you be in heaven while you're talking to somebody on the earth? That's called dual citizenship. The spiritual part of you is seated and operating in a heavenly place, and the natural part of you is here in the earth. Why? Because you are a spirit, soul, and body, and that is huge. Now, your dual citizenship, believe it or not, is what God is going to use to transfer heavenly things by His Holy Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter 6. You know when Peter, when he was standing at the gate, beautiful. Remember the man laying there? 38 years in that condition. Survived a lot of ministries going through that gate because that was the prayer gate. Everybody went through and went out. For 38 years, nobody could access the power to get that man healed. In and out. Everybody went through that gate and came out that gate, and that man sat there. How'd you like to be confined to 38 years? And he asking alms of Peter, remember? And he says this, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. Rise up and walk. Did you get it? What he has, he gave. The time when you're standing in front of that kind of miracle to get it on you, that's not the time. That's why it doesn't work very often. Because we're faced with an impossibility, but we don't have it on us yet. But Peter had it. When you stand in front of that kind of condition, you'll have to have it on you. It's got to be dwelling on your temple at that point. He said, what I have, I give. It wasn't of him. It was just on him. Somewhere along the line, Peter got that power resting upon his life. It was sitting upon his life. And he knew it. Somewhere that transfer was made. I believe it was in an upper room when the Holy Ghost came down upon them. But he got the whole thing to where it was on him and he knew it was on him. He didn't even struggle with it. It was here. Do you understand? Jesus said that all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore. We know it's there. Worthy is the Lamb that's received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. When he ascended into the Father, there was given to him a kingdom and a dominion. We were just in Daniel. If you go back to Daniel 7, Daniel saw the ascension of Christ. Saw him go up before the Ancient of Days and the Father give him the dominion and give him the kingdom and give him the glory and give him the power in making him the appointed heir of all things. Hallelujah. He got it. It's there. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings there. I mean, you know, it's all there. We got to get it here. When Peter stood before that man gate beautiful, he had it on him here. Now, we're going to look at the way Jesus said to pray. And then we're going to look at one of Paul's prayers before we leave today. I'm going to show you that God changed the way things are transferred now. God is going to include you now. Before he heard your prayer and they went down through the second heaven, Michael and all of them got together and they plowed through. This time, God's going to change it. He's going to take you and raise you up above the second heaven in your prayer life. He's going to have you sit above it, pray there, receive it there, and then bring it back here. Did you hear that? He's going to bring you up above the second heaven. I get a kick. Some of these people, we got to get way up there, the 55th floor. Got to get up in the 747s. Got to get up on the mountains, you know, way up there so you can do war against the principality. Won't you just go on up above him? Just go on up into your seat, because you are seated together in heavenly places. Now, before we go there, go to Ephesians 1 real quick. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? I want you to see this. I'm going to break it down for you really good today. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power. This is Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Say, raised him from the dead. Set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, right? Far above all principality and power and dominion. Set him far above. Did he set him far above? Would that include the prince of Persia? So he set him up there. Now, Ephesians 2, if you go over one chapter after that, verse 6, and he raised us up together. So he raised us up together, made us sit together. Now, is that below or above the prince of Persia? Did he set you above? So if you're set up there in heavenly places, guess where he blessed you? Go back to chapter 1, verse 3. Pastor Chuck brought out with this one. Look at this. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessing in where? Heavenly. Do you know places is not actually in the Bible? That is italicized. Pastor Chuck brought this out. I'm going to give him credit for it. It was so good. Heavenly. It means heavenly. Now, the Greek definition of heavenly, listen to this. All spiritual blessings raise you up, wherever it says heavenly places, it actually just says heavenly. You're raised up into heavenly. One of the Greek definitions in your Greek Bible is a heavenly temple or a heavenly sanctuary. Do you know in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, it says we have an altar to eat of that they that serve the earthly tabernacle has no right to eat from? We have an altar. In fact, the whole book of Hebrews was God shifted. The natural tabernacle was all a figure and a pattern of a heavenly tabernacle for which we a heavenly priesthood. If we're a heavenly priesthood, if the Levites served in their tabernacle, why are we not serving in our tabernacle? This building is not the tabernacle of God. You are. You're the tabernacle. But what's living up in you, it's not of you, it's just in you. Christ pitched a heavenly tabernacle inside you. And you've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in that heavenly tabernacle. And that heavenly tabernacle, the glorious thing about it, it's far above this world. It's just in you. But it's far above this world. How can these things be? You're a dual citizen. The spirit man, Christ pitched his tabernacle inside you. He took your spirit from death to life and raised you up to sit together with him. And when he did, that part of you is seated in another dimension that's far above the principalities and powers. And I'm going to tell you this, it's far above the prince of Persia. You can glorify the Prince of Persia all you want, but what's going on up inside of you is far above that prince and his operation. You've got a heavenly tabernacle and a right to eat from that heavenly tabernacle. Why? Because the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Say, the kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of God up inside you. A kingdom of God that's not of this world. It's seated above the Prince of Persia. When you go into that tabernacle, you're going into a place that's not of this world, and it's seated far above this world. Even though you're still here, you're in a position that's seated above, and you're in a position that has more glory and power and authority. Why is that important? I'm glad you asked. Go to Matthew 6. Let me tell you something. The creative realm is not that hard. We have to understand the process by which it's transferred. Everybody in the church right now wants the creative realm. Everybody is looking into the creative realm of God. You know what I'm talking about when I say that. Everybody wants the creative power and demonstration of God. We want to see His power. We want to see His glory. The nations are crying out to see it. This nation's leadership needs to see the power of God. Congress on both sides need to see the power of God. There is a spirit of Antichrist and atheism that's creeping all over this country right now. Islam is growing its roots all throughout this country underneath a powerless church right now. And we must access, and I'm telling you, to hear earthly messages over and over and over again is not going to get it done. We don't need another personality. We don't need somebody to polish the shoe a little bit better and show it to everybody. We must apprehend the heavenly power of God. We've got to know how to get it down here. How many times are we going to go to the altar and repent? After I've repented 50 times, there's got to be something else I need to learn. I want to repent. I need to repent. But after I've repented, there's got to be something else. If it's not coming down after the 50th time we've repented, there might be another step. Let me tell you something right now. Church is going to change. People are going to see the living God. What they're looking at right now is a form of church government that grows people, but it does not have the power attached to it. They all want to know, well, how do you grow? Let's go find out the pattern. And everybody jumps into the present pattern that's growing. That's fine. I'm glad a bunch of people are in church. But for the world to harvest, we're going to have a new pattern. The heavenly pattern. The power. Paul said, I don't even want to come hear your speech or your preaching. I want to see the power. We've got to get it. We can cry out. Fast forward, but it's the lack of knowledge that's presently holding it up, because we don't know how it's being transferred. If we understand how it's transferred, then we can learn how to go get it. You believe it or not, God made it real, real, real easy. We just have to be able to comprehend spiritual things. Amen. Supernatural must become natural. This is powerful right here. Remember when all his disciples couldn't get the demon-possessed boy healed? That was Peter couldn't get him healed, by the way. Sure had a change by the time Acts chapter 3 came around. Acts chapter 4, glory hit. Acts chapter 5, Peter is wearing the glory. It's visibly on his tabernacle. It says the shadow of Peter passing by. Don't think that was a shadow the sun was making. That was manifested glory sitting upon Peter's tabernacle. It broke out on his tabernacle. It was a present glory that he was carrying. And that glory, when it hits, you remember when Solomon's glory showed up in his temple? All the nations come to the glory. When Peter, that glory come upon Peter's tabernacle, all the surrounding villages were trying to grow church. I'm telling you, if we'll get the glory of God on our tabernacle, they'll all come and eat. They'll come and eat from things that they don't know how to access. Just because you know how to pray in the name of Jesus doesn't mean something's going to come down. Well, I prayed in the name. I have too. A lot. But you need to be wearing that when you get in front of a situation like that. It's got to already be on you. The transfer should have already been made before you got in front of the case. Amen. Matthew 6, we've been here. But thou, when you pray, enter into thy closet. We know what this closet is now. What is it? The inner sanctuary of the kingdom of God. It's not the one, ladies, your shoes are dwelling in. There is an inner sanctuary inside you. There's an inner kingdom. There is a tabernacle. He says, when you pray, enter into. Now notice what he says, and when you have shut the door. And when you shut the door, you've moved from one place to another. You've moved into a position. Now, just think about us being Daniel here for a minute. Where did you move to at this point? Because notice what happens where you're at. Where you're at has a whole lot to do with what's going to get released when you pray. I'm not talking about if you're in Houston praying or Dallas praying or a mountain in Tibet praying. I'm talking about where you're at in the spirit. Now, notice what he says here. When you shut the door, we're definitely talking about spiritual doors here. You do understand. And pray to the Father which is in that place. If he's there, I can assure you it's not of this world. Can we all agree on that? So when he goes in, he says, and he'll shut the door. And the Father which is in there, he's going to see you there. You got to be somewhere other than this earth. That's an inner sanctuary that God pitched your heavenly tabernacle. He says, get there before you start praying. Isn't it amazing right after that? Now you're positioned, the Father sees you there. What's next? The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, I'm certain we're all over the Lord's Prayer right now. It is not a recital. We can pray that way in honor of God. Don't misunderstand me, because we all do. But that's not what it is. It wasn't meant, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's what's supposed to happen there. Those were components of prayer, processes of prayer. When you enter in, the first thing you do is meet who? The Father. Who's the doorway? Christ. I'm where you are, Father. I'm a worshiper in spirit and truth. Oh, I love you. I glorify you. And you can get caught up in that place a long time, so much so you don't even want to go to the next phase. When you're up into my Father which art in heaven, I'm with you. Are you seated above? Where are you praying from right there? Where? You're praying from within the heavenly tabernacle, the temple of God, right? So are you below or above the Prince of Persia at that point? So what's the next component of prayer? Get this. What's the next component of prayer after worship? Worship is always going to be number one. You cannot bypass, nor do you want to bypass that. Because worship to the Father is glorious. Worship to the Father is... you're in intimacy. You're with him. It's not like worshiping in the church. You're still here. Don't think you're just going to get raptured up there. You're in the tabernacle inside. The difference is the resistance from this world system. The stuff that the prince of the power of the air is controlling, it's not in there. It's free. It's liberating. It's full. It's creative. Now, what's the next phase? This is the part right here. That Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days. What did he want? For heaven to hear him. Now, what did God say? If you're positioned, I'll see you there. And I'll what? Reward you openly. Now, notice what he says. Watch how it shifts now. Before, you were praying from here. God had heard you from there, had to bring it down through the second heaven. Now you're not in the first heaven or the second heaven. That's why access and entrance is so huge. Say, huge. When you're in the tabernacle of God, you're with him. That's the glory of our dispensation, that we are in Him, with Him, seated above. We operate as joint heirs from our heavenly seat. And when we pray, we weren't supposed to be shouting from down here. We were supposed to be with Him. Guess what happens? The next component of prayer. Listen to this. Thy kingdom, what? Come! Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Guess what? That's coming through you. There is a transference that's going to come to you. That's why Peter, when he stood before the man, says, what I have, I give. The second he gave it, the Holy Spirit took that off of him, anointed it, and thy will was done. The will be done is what's being done here. That's the actual creative act right there. That's the demonstration. Thy kingdom come is a transference from one place to another. This is naturally supernatural. I'm a dual citizen. That's naturally supernatural. I just need to learn how to operate in a naturally supernatural state. Now, that's why the devil likes to get all that stuff confused. Gets people real quack. I've been going the right hand of God for 3 years, and I am very sane. Very much so. Very sound. Very sane. I'm not out there. Some people I might be out there, but for the most part, we're there. Amen? Now, listen to this. So you're there. He says, thy kingdom. Where are you praying from that? Where are you praying when you say thy kingdom? What did God say? It's the Father's good pleasure. What? To give you the kingdom. Where are you praying from? Are you praying from below the Prince of Persia or above? You're saying, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is here in heaven. We need what's here there. What's the first order of transfer? The Bible says, when you pray, believe you receive. And then you will have. Two different things. Thy kingdom come is one thing. Thy will be done is another thing. Thy kingdom come is the initial transfer. That's why it says, believe you receive what? There is a transfer that takes place. Transfer that takes place, right? Now you have it. Somewhere along the line, when Peter was up in the upper room, he got something on him. There was a transfer that came upon him. And when it came upon him, he knew he had it, because by the time he got in front of the man at Gate Beautiful, he goes, I have this. It's not up there now. It's here. Did you see the beauty of what just happened? It did not have to go through the second heaven. It transferred to you when you were praying in the tabernacle. God says, here. Now you got it. And guess what? You come back down in your dual citizenship. Bypass. Everyone say, bypass. Now you got it here. You are the one God's transferring. Did you get it? Guess who just did that transfer? The Holy Ghost. He said, he'll receive of mine. And then he'll show it, declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. Then he'll demonstrate it through you. You're the agent of transference. He is the agency of transference. You and the Holy Ghost are working together to receive the kingdom. Now, let me show you this prayer. Ephesians 3, go there. I can assure you the enemy would very much not like you to hear this. Very much rather you pray and nothing ever happens. He would not like you to know where to pray from. Guess what? He's bypassed from the whole transference. God transfers things to jurisdictions. That's why it comes on you. When the glory fills the tabernacle, guess what? Heaven doesn't come and rest down on your tabernacle here. There was a bypass. Everyone say hallelujah for the bypass. You ever heard of bypass surgery? That I bypass the problem and connect the artery to the right place. God just bypassed the devil altogether and says, shoe fly, shoe fly. I bypass you. I'll just give it straight to them. He cured the problem. It is a receiving issue now. It's a faith issue and a receiving issue and a position issue. If you're not positioned, the reception won't come, because if you're still operating in this jurisdiction, you're asking him to do what he did in the day of Daniel. That's why it's so important you learn access and entrance and get up in there where he is, so he can just go like this. Oh, hi. Have some of this. You're going to get a whole lot more transferred when you're sitting in his right hand. That's what's wrong with the church. We're not getting the transfer from the prayers because we're not operating God's new system. He wants there. He goes like this. Thy kingdom come. It's a component of prayer. Father, I receive. Okay, here. Now take that back down there with the Holy Ghost. That stuff is not of the earth. It's on you. It's not even of you. It's of me, but you're going to get to carry it. Now go back down there and the Holy Ghost is going to be with you. And what's resting on you, that's going to get people healed. It's going to get them set free. There's going to be a demonstration. Paul prayed this. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. You're going to love it. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. By the way, faith is the catalyst by all things transfer. Faith and the Holy Ghost and your new creation. Positioned properly. Amen. Might take a little while to learn some of these things, but it sure be worth it when a generational inheritance transfers through you. Hey, let me tell you something. God did not bypass even the birth of Christ, human agency. How did he bring him in? He impregnated Mary's womb, transferred the Son of God through the Immaculate Conception into human agency. She releases it into the earth. Why would he do it any other way? It's coming inside. Got to get to know who you are. We're not going to get anywhere teaching you natural things anymore. Church don't need that kind of stuff. We got to get the light to come on. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. The light's got to come on to who you are. Then faith will activate. Watch this prayer that Paul prayed. Verse 13, Ephesians 3. Desire to faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now watch this. Verse 16. He bows his knees where? To the Father. Do you think Paul, after all that he knew, especially after he's already talked in chapter 1, chapter 2 about being seated together with Christ in heavenly places, don't you know he knew how to get positioned in the heavenly places before he prayed? Don't you know he knew how to, he preached it everywhere. When he prayed, he wasn't just saying, I bow my knees. He got in the same position we've been talking about this whole service. He understood. He had a greater revelation than anybody. So when he's bowing his knees to the Father, Lord Jesus, he's getting in position in his heavenly tabernacle. He's moving out of the world, getting seated together with Christ, and is about to pray to the Father. Now when he prays to the Father, notice what he prays. Watch this. That he would grant you, Father, grant them according to the riches of his glory, riches of his glory, riches of his grace. This is the full inheritance that Christ inherited on your behalf. Father, according to the riches of your glory, I'm asking you, I'm with you, I'm here, you're hearing me. Grant them, Father, to be strengthened with all might. You know what that word might means? Dynamite. Dunamis power, the word that's derived from dynamite. It's the actual creative power of God. Grant them all dynamite. All dunamis power to be strengthened where? How? Where? How? By your spirit. Transfer it out according to the riches and glory. Have your Holy Spirit transfer it by your spirit. Bring it out of riches and glory. Notice what he says. Be strengthened with all dunamis power by your spirit in the inner man. Notice what he's praying. Father, bring it out of the riches of his grace by your Holy Spirit. Transfer it now to their inner man that's seated together with you. Transfer the dynamite so it can rest upon them, that the Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Do you know what he's praying there? He's praying for the indwelling glory of God to come up on your tabernacle. All of that transferred in the right hand of God, bypassed the second heaven, that Christ would dwell like he did on Peter, so we could be endued with power from on high. Is somebody a little bit excited? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!